Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you here until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here this evening. And let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be able to point people to Christ and help us to be able to encourage people in their walk with you. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to the program tonight. We're glad to have you. And like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here. And just want to say, if you're out driving around here in Northeast Ohio tonight, there's been some storms going through the area and some winds and different things. And I think we're still under a tornado watch, I believe. And that's going to be expiring here shortly, I guess. But it seems to be calming down quite a bit. But boy, it did get windy and a rain just come down as doing our nursing home service this afternoon. And our church has a weekly nursing home service, and we were in there and it was getting dark outside, and then all of a sudden it just like the heavens opened up and they were just pouring buckets of water down. 5 minutes later it was gone. And after the service, drove I think a mile up the road, if that far, and they hadn't had anything. And so it's just been kind of spotty, but that's the way it goes. And it's just been a kind of one of those days. Yesterday, a little sprinkly here and there. But I tell you what, tomorrow's supposed to be cold. And they talk about global warming. I'm convinced another winter like last winter, another summer like this summer, the ice age is going to be coming back. I just remember back in the 1970s in high school that all we talked about was the ice age coming because it was so cold. And we got down to 46 degrees the other night in the morning. Woke up, I think it was Thursday morning, and said, this is the end of July. You have to turn the furnace on. But it's hard to believe. This is supposed to be the dog days when it's supposed to be hot and muggy. And I kind of like the cool weather, to be sure, but my tomatoes would rather have some of that hot, muggy weather so they can grow better. But at any rate, we're glad to have you with us tonight. And we talk about a little bit of anything and everything. And of course, as we say, we try to encourage you with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And there's certainly a lot of things going on in the world today. And you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And as we get into the program here this evening, I want to mention a couple of things. And one of which is somebody sent me an email here recently and asking a question. And sometimes it's hard to get on the radio. You forget the number or something. And so they emailed me, and you can email me at pastoral@maplenoel.us, and Maple Knoll is spelled KNOLL.US. That's pastoral@maplenoel.us. And he had a question about in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 1, probably one of the more difficult passages in the Bible, and I was given some tremendous insight into understanding Bible scriptures and difficult passages by a missionary in England many years ago. And I asked him about a passage that I was trying to figure out, and I said I looked at a couple of commentaries, and they didn't say much about it. And I asked him what he thought it meant, and he clued me into something. He said, you know what? If you have a big problem with the passage and you go to the commentaries, you'll probably find they skipped it too because they had a problem and they had a difficult time with it. But needless to say, we were asked the question, and so we're going to try and touch on it a little bit briefly here. And the question in Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel has a vision. He's in the captivity in Babylon. And remember, Ezekiel and Jeremiah are contemporaries. Jeremiah was a prophet to the Jews that were left, the remnant that was in Judah. And Ezekiel was taken into captivity, and he was a prophet to the Jews that were in captivity in Babylon. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, as Ezekiel has this vision, he's looking up, and he sees the heavens opened up. And here in Ezekiel 1, verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kebar, that the heavens were open, I saw visions of God." And he goes on to discuss the time frame here and everything. And in the course of this vision, he says in verse 5, "Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures." And these living creatures, which he goes on to describe, are angelic beings. That's a key to understanding what's going on in this passage. These are angelic beings. They're creatures that God created, and I would suggest that they're possibly cherubim. And he describes them, of everyone having four faces, and everyone had four wings. In verse 7, he says, "And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings, and their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward." And it goes on to continue describing them, but I want to drop down for time's sake here, down to verse number 14. It says, "And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the face upon the earth by the living creatures, with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went, thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels." Now, there's more to this description here, but our question in the email was, what about these wheels here that Ezekiel saw? And the reason I'm sure that this was asked is because a lot of people today try to say that these wheels are a record of a UFO sighting in the Bible, that Ezekiel was looking at a UFO. Well, to a certain degree, it was something that was flying, and Ezekiel didn't know exactly what it was, so it was unidentified. It was flying, and it was an object of sorts, so I guess you could say that, but we understand that's not what you usually mean by UFOs. UFOs, people are talking about aliens in spaceships flying around. Now, the key here is Ezekiel is seeing God revealed in the course of this vision, and in the course of this vision, he sees these four living creatures. These are creatures of God. Let me give you a passage over in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 has a very similar passage that puts you in reminiscence of this. And in Revelation chapter 4, John is caught up into heaven, and he sees a number of things in heaven in chapter 4. And it says in chapter 4, verse number 6, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast a calf, like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." So here's these beasts, these creatures, these are living creatures. These are angelic beings. They're not like the typical angels that we view. You think of Michael the archangel or Gabriel or other angels appearing in the form of a man. These angelic beings have an unusual appearance. The ones in Revelation are described as one with the face of or being like a lion, one like a calf, one like a man, one like an eagle. The angelic beings in Ezekiel are a little bit different. They each had a face like a man, a face like a lion, a face like an eagle, and a face like an ox. All four faces on each individual one. And so the key here is these are angelic beings, and they're created beings that God has created. He has them for a purpose. So that's going to rule out Martians. That's going to rule out Alpha Centaurians. These are heavenly beings, and they appear coming down out of heaven to Ezekiel in his vision. So that leaves us with the wheels. And people say, well, the wheels, that would be like the round spaceship of classic flying saucer fame that these beings inside of, and the eyes that are all around the rings or the wheels. Rings and the wheels are the same thing. That these eyes would represent the windows around the side of the spaceship. But that's not what this is. These angelic beings, and if you look in the commentaries, you get all kinds of, there's this and there's that, but nobody ever really comes to a solid conclusion what they are. And I look at this and I see angelic beings, and surrounding them, there's some kind of a something that's circling them. And we can see, and let me go back to Revelation 4 again real quick. When John is caught up into heaven and he sees the throne of God, the Bible describes that there's a bow, like a rainbow, that's over top of and surrounding God's throne. And here in verse number 3, it says, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone," talking about the description of God relating it to various precious stones. "And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." Now, when we see a rainbow, we were driving the other day and there was some rain, and my wife looked out the window and said, "Hey, I see a rainbow out there." A rainbow is in an arc shape. It's a half circle, generally, what we see because of our position on the earth. And if you were in the right position, you see that arc because the earth being round. And if you look at an arc, a half an arc, if you had a completed arc, this rainbow around the throne, encircling the throne, could be a ring, like the rings around Saturn, a ring, or a circle, or a wheel. Remember, Ezekiel is trying to describe something that he's seeing in the Hebrew language of his day. And of course, we've got that translated, reading from the King James Version of the Bible here. And that's translated into English. And we have a description of a man seeing heavenly things. And the best way he could describe, just like John described the rainbow of emerald color surrounding the throne of God in heaven in Revelation chapter 4, Ezekiel sees some rings, some wheels that apparently have these lights and stuff around them that suggest eyes to him. And he sees these things surrounding these living creatures, and there's the wheel and a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Some people suggest that this wheel is at a 90-degree angle to the one wheel. If you could imagine standing as a man standing, if you have a wheel going around, say, your waist or a ring around your waist, and then another wheel, 90-degree angle to that, going around the length of your body or the height of your body, you know, from head to toe, and sitting and nesting within each other. It doesn't really say that. It just says one wheel was in the middle of the wheel, and these wheels traveled wherever these spirits or these beings went. The beings did not so much go where the wheels went. The wheels went where the living creatures were. And so rather than try to read automatically space aliens into this and UFOs into this, we have to understand. Here's some kind of a majestic sight that Ezekiel is seeing. And I don't fully understand all of what he saw. I haven't read any commentaries yet that I think fully understand all that he saw. But the fact of the matter is, he saw something amazing that represented the glory of God. And it also represented these incredible angelic beings that were employed in God's service. And so they're not spaceships. They're not aliens from another planet or even from another galaxy or something like that. They're angelic beings, and their appearance projects this form of a ring or a wheel round about them, a wheel within a wheel. And so that's just a quick look at a very difficult passage there, to be sure, but hopefully that gives you a little insight into the passage. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We have Richard calling in tonight. And Richard, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, sir. I have a question.
Hi, good evening. Thank you. And what's your question?
I'm wondering, the phrase that occurs in the Bible a lot about following the word of God, and you know, he who hears the word of God and does it and puts it into practice,
right,
is my disciple, you know, and blessed is he who, you know, hears the word of God and puts it into practice. When we hear that phrase, I'm wondering, sometimes it was said by Jesus, obviously, before the New Testament was written. So was he referring to the New Testament when he said word of God?
Well, the word of God would be complete. It would be the Old and the New Testament. The New Testament completes the word of God. So you really can't separate. Some people try to separate. Of course, the Jewish people, they reject the New Testament as the Word of God. And unfortunately, there's some Christians that reject the Old Testament. They think it's just for the Jews. And it's been said that the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. And so it's all complete. They go hand in hand. They're all the Word of God. And so we should be reading the Old and the New Testament, but it's obvious that some parts of the Bible do apply to different ages more than others. For instance, some of the Jewish laws and stuff that apply to the Jews, and then there's some things that'll apply during the tribulation period and things of that nature. But there are certain things that apply all the times, you know, such as worshiping only God. But yeah, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments, and, you know, we'll find them in the New Testament, we'll find them in the Old Testament, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, will manifest myself to him. And so one of the ways, and previous to that, in verse 15, he said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So we show our love for God by being obedient to his word, and that's part of it. Did you have something further with that? Am I getting towards what you're asking?
Yeah, I think so. I understand that it's a living tradition that's alive, that's continuing or was continuing. I understand that part. I guess the question to hone in on it even more was is the Word of God a thing or is it a feeling?
No, it's a thing. You can hold the Word of God in your hand. The Bible talks about being inspired of God, and it's written down. You can, if you remember, there's Jeremiah. When Jeremiah was in prison, God spoke to him, gave him the Word of God, and he wrote it down. In his assistant Baruch wrote down the words that Jeremiah spoke. They took it into the king. Eventually, it got to the king, and the king read it, and the king didn't agree with it, and he cut it out, and he threw it into the fire, and they burned it. And then Baruch went back to Jeremiah. God gave him the same words again, and they were written down again, and he added a lot more to it. So, God's word is, it's a part of God, obviously, but the Word of God is a complete unit that we have, and it's contained in the Bible, and God has given it to us by inspiration. Then he promised to preserve it. Psalm 12 says that he would preserve it from that generation forever. And so we have it available to us today, and we can read God's word. We can hold God's word. But we understand the book that we're holding is just paper and ink, but it's what's contained in it. It's the concepts and the ideas that make up God's word. But the very words that are there are important to us. So in that sense, it is a thing, but it's a living thing because it's a living word, unlike Shakespeare, which can be inspiring, but it's a dead word. And God's word's alive because the Holy Spirit not only inspired it, but when you as a believer read the Bible, the Holy Spirit makes it come alive to you and gives you understanding and insight into the scriptures. And he will apply the Word of God to your life and to situations that you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And yeah, that is good because, see, sometimes we get accused of being Bible-olaters, meaning that we worship the book. You know, the paper and the covers, and I had somebody, when they saw my Bible one time, they put their hand over their mouth and they went, oh, you've written on the Holy Word of God. And I said, well, this is my life's instruction book. It's my textbook. It's my guidebook. Of course I'm writing in it so that I can better understand it and learn from it. And so it's a living thing that we can learn from. And besides, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So everything I know about God is based in the Word of God, and God uses it to minister to people's hearts to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So,
yep, thank you.
Well, I appreciate your question there tonight, Richard. Thank you very much. And we've got John coming up next. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I hope your pizza shop didn't get washed out.
I hope so, too. I was just over there Thursday, and he was doing well, but that was before all the rain came through.
Yeah, I guess some of the heights... I was watching on the news, and the rain came up to like half the distance of the car.
Well, I didn't see the news tonight, but some of those areas, you know, where there's some dips down there, and if the drainage isn't too good, you can get some flooding. I live out in a little more rural area, so we don't have to worry about that too much. And thankfully, the creek didn't rise, so
because yeah, right.
We're not too far from the creek. So, but what's your question tonight?
My question is about Mark 15:2-9.
All right, let me get turned over there. Gospel of Mark. And chapter 15, and I'll warn you, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break in a couple of minutes. Let's take a look here, and we might have to hold you and our other callers over to the second half of our program. I'm sorry, that was Mark chapter 15?
Yes, and verse 2 and 9.
All right. Mark chapter 15, and Jesus is before Pilate, and in verse 2, Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And then verse 9, Pilate answered and said again unto them, First case, he was talking to Jesus. Now he's talking to the Jewish leaders. What will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?
Last week you were saying that you felt that Mary was not a perpetual virgin.
Correct.
And I was wondering, when Jesus was crucified, would Pilate have considered his next brother down the line to be the King of the Jews?
Well, I don't know for sure that Pilate himself would have been aware of Jesus' next brother down the line. That's actually a very interesting question, because I never really thought of that, because you're thinking about how people, you know, go down the succession, just like you have Prince Charles, who's next in line to be the king over Great Britain, and then his son, and then his grandson, you know, second and third in the line, and
yeah,
we think that way.
Yeah, I think his next brother would have been James.
Either James or Jude. Those are a couple of them that are named in the scriptures as the brethren of Jesus Christ. And James, the author of the book of James, and Jude, the author of the book of Jude, would have been half-brothers of Jesus Christ. But as far as Pilate, in this particular case, Pilate actually was reaching a point here where he was trying to find a reason to not crucify Jesus. And he was kind of really forced into it by the Jewish people. He asked, he had heard this, and we'll have to hold this to the second half. We're about out of time in this half. So stick with us, and we'll stay tuned.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is PastorAl@MapleKnoll.us. You can also visit our website at LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. That's LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions. And before we get back to our phones here, just want to remind you that this program, of course, is brought to you by not only the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the high school, Garfield Heights High School, that is. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, across from the high school. And you can call them 216-341-9100. Also, a reminder that if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, you don't have to be in Northeast Ohio, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus, and he'll help you get set up in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. I was talking to somebody just the other day about getting into the pizza business. I said the key to good pizza and the success in the pizza business is you got to have good dough and you got to have good sauce. And Gus has that at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And if you want to get started in your own pizza business, give him a call, and you can get his sauce, or at least the recipe and dough, and he'll help you get the training that you need to set up your own business. 216-341-9100. And ask for Gus. All right, we're getting back to our program here, and I was talking with John before the break. We were talking about Jesus and being called the King of the Jews by Pilate, and also the idea of his brothers. And according to the Bible, he had some brothers and sisters. And John, welcome back to the program.
Yes, I found a book in the library. It's called The Royal Family of Jesus.
Right.
And I was wondering, do you believe that his brother James could have had a rightful claim to the throne?
Well, no. And here's why. And this is the key. This is the key. People get confused because there's two genealogies given, one in Matthew and one in Luke, for the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And the reason the two genealogies are there, if you read it carefully, you'll find the one, I believe it's the one in Matthew, is the genealogy leading to Joseph, who is not the biological father of Jesus Christ. The other genealogy is the genealogy of Mary, who is the biological mother of our Lord. Now, the reason that James or one of Jesus' other siblings could not have made that claim is because Joseph would have been their father, would have been their biological father. And as a result, they would have been in line with, I believe it's Jeconiah, king that because of his rejection of God and God's word and all, God said that he would not have any of his posterity to have the throne.
Oh, and, I remember that.
Yeah, and see, John, not you. James here. And Jude, they would have been the sons of Joseph, and Joseph would have been a descendant of that king whose descendants could not sit on the throne. And that's another reason why Joseph could not have been the father of Jesus Christ. And also, of course, the fact that the sin nature in the Bible passes through the male side of your lineage from your father to you. And that's because by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so the sin nature transfers not through the female line or through your mother, but through your father. And so Jesus could be born of Mary and Mary still be someone who has sin nature herself, just like every other human being, and yet she could give birth to a sinless Savior because she did not have a human, there was no human father involved, so it was a supernatural conception.
Well, the fact that Mary didn't come through the royal line then
She did. And so
not through the line of kings like in Matthew.
Well, but she was a descendant from King David.
Right, but it was
through Nathan, through his son Nathan.
It wasn't the royal line as recorded in Matthew, though.
Oh, the line recorded in Matthew goes back to the king that whose descendants were not allowed to sit on the throne, so they would have lost the royal line there.
Mary's genealogy in Luke does not include any of the kings except David.
Correct, because they go back. But the Bible says that a son of David, a descendant of David, would sit on the throne.
Right.
And so Jesus had that.
Which would have included all of Jesus' brothers, because they were descendants of David also.
Correct. But what I said is they were disallowed because they were also descendants of one of David's descendant who was ruled out.
Okay.
Yeah. See, so it's just like an X was placed at that line of Jeconiah, and so nobody descended from him could be on the throne like that. And so for that reason, that would rule them out. Now, there's probably other people who could have qualified in some way or made a case for it, but none of them, to my knowledge, were going around claiming to be the Messiah. And so none of them were put forward by the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders in asking Pilate to crucify him. An interesting thing is when the wise men came, some people believe that they were from Parthia, and the Parthian rulers, who incidentally bore the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords, were always certified by the Magi to be direct descendants of King David, or they weren't qualified to sit on the ruling throne of Parthia. And that may actually explain why all of Jerusalem was troubled, including Herod, when they arrived with their entourage. And there would have been a lot more than just three wise men. There would have been a huge group. There might have actually, some people say there might have been an entourage, 1,000 or more people that were there. And you can understand, because Rome and Parthia were, in a sense, rivals.
Right.
And Parthia had at one time actually controlled Jerusalem prior to the birth of Christ. At the time of Christ, though, Rome controlled Jerusalem, and there was an uneasy peace between Parthia and Rome. So when you had this large delegation from Parthia, and I personally believe that's where the wise men were from, and then they came, they may have been looking at somebody they thought could justly be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Right.
Which, of course, we know from the Bible Jesus is.
Right.
So, hey, interesting call tonight, John. Appreciate that call.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. We got a couple more callers lined up before I get to them. Just want to mention something. Pray for us. We have a tremendous opportunity that has developed for us, and it's something, an answer to prayer. We've been wanting to do this, but financially we've been unable to do it. If you've been listening to our program for any length of time, you know that this program is a faith ministry of our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and of course we have our sponsor, Gus of East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, and we're certainly thankful for that. But we had opportunity to expand our program on radio station Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Florida, out of the Tampa Bay area. And it looks like everything's coming together, and we have an opportunity to be on there starting next week. So pray for us. And what that'll be is the same time we're on the air here live, We will be on the air down in Florida on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN, in addition to AM 1220, The Word, up here. And it's a tremendous opportunity, and it'll give us a great opportunity to reach out and be a blessing, hopefully, and encouragement to people. And if you've been listening to our program for a while, you know we take calls about quite a few different subjects and topics and just try to make sense about it. We certainly believe that the Bible is an intelligent book written by an intelligent author for an intelligent audience. And we should take the time to look into it and see what it has to say. So hopefully next week we'll be, if everything goes well, welcoming listeners in Florida. And we're looking forward to that. So pray for us. And like I said, God provided the money so that we can get on the air down there. And pray that God will make it possible that we can continue to do so. And if you want more information about us and about our program and about this opportunity that we have, you can check out our website, live.maplenoll.us. And again, Maple Knoll is spelled M-A-P-L-E-K-N-O-L-L. live.maplenoll.us. People tell me I ought to get a better website address here sometime, and maybe I will. They've come down in price. When we started this, we started everything on a shoestring. We're a small church, and you know, when you don't have deep pockets to pull into, you do what you can, and you make use of a domain name as much as you can. I've probably got about five websites that are all using the root maplenoll.us, but you can always find us if you go to the station's website and just Google our name. Even you'll find us there, and you can find out more about us. And also, reminder that our previous programs we have available there on our website at live.maplenoll.us. All right, let's get back to our programs. If you've got a question about, or our callers, I should say, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air tonight. We have David, who's been patiently waiting. David, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. It's good to talk to you once again.
Yeah, great to have you.
Thank you. I was talking about something that is truly out of this world. And that's
all right.
The love of God.
I missed what you said there. Out of this world, and that's...
It's true. I say I'm calling about something that is truly out of this world, and that is the love of God.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, compared to the love of what man tries to construe to be love, you know, what a difference.
Well, and to prove, you know, that it's truly out of this world, you know, everybody's familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when you think about that passage, when it says for God so loved the world, that means he loved people who hated and despised him. And yet he still loved them enough to die for them. Amazing, isn't it?
That reminds you of the Romans 5:8, where God commended his love towards us and that we were yet sinners, Christ died for
us. Exactly. And, you know, that's an amazing thing when you talk about the love of God, because, you know, the holiness of God and the righteousness of God and the justness of God certainly demands a penalty for sin, but it's the love of God that makes possible the mercy of God and the grace of God, so that we can have a payment for sin, so that we can have a Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we can trust Christ as our Savior and have our sins forgiven. And so that satisfies the holiness and the righteousness and the justness of God and in the person of Christ. So.
Yes, sir. That takes care of the outside of it, and then the inside of the love of God working inside of you when it gets into your heart. That gives you a whole different nature. It changes your whole way of looking at things and a whole way of dealing with people who used to really, you know, upset you and put you through things, put you through stuff where you just never wanted to go. But because the love of God who lives in you, you're able to, you know, suffer through it in times, or, you know, or to be showing God the way what God has done for you through that love which lives inside of you.
And here's an amazing thing that the love of God can do, too. I've seen and talked with and heard people's testimony on the radio and read things where people who absolutely hated certain people, when they trusted Christ as their Savior and the Holy Spirit indwelt them, He began to fill them with the love of God for others. And I've seen people who were Jews and heard of people who were Jews who despised Christians because of what they perceived Christians had done to them. And of course, it wasn't Bible-believing Christians by any means, but they despised Christians. And when they trusted Christ as their Savior, they were filled with a love for people that they used to despise. And Muslims that despise Jews and Christians, when they trust Christ as their Savior, suddenly filled with a love for Jews and Christians. And people who were enemies, who were brought together in Christ, and they're reconciled with each other, not only with God through Christ, but eventually with each other. Enemies become brothers in Christ. It's an amazing thing.
And it's also a catalyst for you to go out and share the love with the world. You know,
exactly.
If you didn't love the world, you wouldn't be sharing the gospel with them.
Well, the love of God.
You have that love in you, yeah, is because God loved you so before. He said God first loved you before you even got any of that. You know, but now that you got it, He expects you to go share it. And share it in love, because you love the person, you want to tell them about Jesus.
Well, the love of God should constrain us, which means it literally gets a hold of us and almost compels us to go out and share that love with those around us. Hey, David, I want to thank you for that. I got another caller here, and we're running short on time.
I'll see you Friday night.
Hey, hope to see you sometime on Friday night again.
Yeah, the performance back there this Friday, so I get another opportunity to come have some fellowship with you again.
All right, well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the call, David. All right, thank you. Appreciate that. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got a few minutes left in the program. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And Jeremiah is holding. Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi. The book is the Word of God, and the words in red is the words of Christ.
And that's a good point, because some people get, different study Bibles and all that. The two Bibles I have in front of me don't have the red letter edition, but the red letter edition that you bring that up about the words in red or the words of Christ, they do help us to identify the things that Jesus spoke. But I will go further, though. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so it's all, in effect, the words of Christ. It's just that the red letter edition have the direct words of Christ in red.
And also there's stars of, that tells you the prophecies that are fulfilled.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things that help us understand the truthfulness of the Word of God. It's the accuracy of the prophecy. The Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, I believe it is, that if somebody makes a prophecy and it doesn't come true, that you're to pay no attention to them. They're a false prophet. And yet every prophecy that's been made in the Word of God has come true, with the exception of those that are yet future. And so we have a 100% proven track record. I remember one time when I was in the Air Force, there were some people fascinated with prophecy, Nostradamus and things like that. And this guy I was talking with, and he had read a little bit of Nostradamus, and he was saying, "Oh, this guy's amazingly accurate." And I said, "Well, I know a book that's 100% accurate, and all the prophecies that are in there have come to pass except for the future ones." And he was really interested. And I built it up. I never told him it was the Bible. And I told him some amazing prophecies and things that were predicted, and he was excited, and he wanted to know what the book was. I said it was the Bible, and all of a sudden he lost interest.
I have a few questions.
Yeah, he was happy to have a second-rate has-been prophet, Nostradamus, and didn't want anything to do with the 100% accurate prophet that comes out of the Word of God.
Well, first question is, did Jesus ever wear a robe?
Did Jesus ever wear a robe? I would believe so. The outfit, the clothing that they wore during the day, they would have had some kind of a robe. The girdle that they had oftentimes was used to tie up some of the robe and things so that they wouldn't trip over it and all when they were working. Styles were a little bit different, and plus they didn't have the same sewing techniques. They did have the ability to make pants of a sort, because we know that the robes that the priests wore in the temple, the priestly robes, and those were robes, they had a type of pants that they wore underneath them, because they had to climb up the ladder up and down onto the where the altar was, and so for modesty's sake, they wore a type of pants underneath their robe.
When it rained, how do they stay dry?
Well, they'd have to get undercover just like we would today.
They don't have anything to keep them.
I'm sure they had some kind of things, but a lot of people don't worry about the rain as much, and they were in a part of the world that probably didn't have quite the rainfall as frequently as we do here. When my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, quite frankly, it rained and sprinkled so much that it had to be a pretty good rain before people worried about staying out of it, because you just got used to it. Today, we're just not used to being out in the rain. You get a couple sprinkles, and everybody goes racing for the nearest place to get out of the rain. And I just walk to the car because, you know, it's a little rain. It doesn't hurt you.
Moses separated the Red Sea with a staff.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Right. Well, he held a staff out over, and God actually separated the sea. There was a wind that blew all night long, and then the waters parted, and Moses held his staff out, and the nation of Israel passed through the sea on dry land, not on muddy land, but on dry land, the Bible says, the water heaped up on other sides. Some people have tried to say, oh, they went through the Reed Sea, and it was just, you know, maybe ankle or knee deep, and they got through it, which is an amazing thing, because if that's the case, how come the hardened soldiers of Pharaoh's army couldn't navigate the same Reed Sea, and they all got stuck in it and drowned when the Israelites went through safely?
You think there ever be another flood?
Local floods, but God promised that there would not be another worldwide flood. That's one of the things that he promised to Noah when they observed the rainbow in the sky, and he promised he would never destroy all life on the planet with a flood.
It said in the scripture that he will destroy the world with fire?
Yeah, that's in after the tribulation, after the thousand-year reign of Christ at the end of the book of Revelation. Also, I believe 2 Peter writes about it too. The world is destroyed by fire. The elements, the Bible says, melt with a fervent heat. And I believe part of that is to cleanse God's creation from the stain of sin. This universe is stained with sin. It wasn't supposed to be, but because of sin that entered in through Adam's sin into the physical realm, this universe is under a curse.
Then God will make a new heaven and earth.
Right, right. New heaven and new earth. Hey, Jeremiah, I got another caller calling in. I'm going to try and squeeze him in here before the end of the program. And some good questions there tonight. I appreciate that. Thank you for calling. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I think we got a caller calling in. If we can get them in real quick, we'll get them on here. But also want to remind you, pray for us. And I'm going to be out at the Medina County Fair this week. If you get a chance to go out to the Medina County Fair, I'll be helping out a friend of ours from our church. He has a booth out there with the he's got three doors there, three things God cannot do. I'll give you the hint. The first one is God cannot lie. And we always remind people there's chapter and verse behind each one. And if you get a chance to go out to the Medina County Fair this week, I'll be out there in the early part of the day. And if I'm there and you're there, say hello. We'd love to see you there at the Medina County Fair this week. I'll be there, so far as I know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, probably about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning for several hours at least. And I may or may not be in on Thursday morning. Don't know about the time yet. I'm going to be filling in for Bruce Musselman's program on Thursday here on this station at 3 o'clock. Hey, out of time. Great to be with you tonight. God bless and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at Pastor Al at MapleKnoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.